Facebook recently began an ad campaign that tells users how beneficial personalized and targeted ads are for you as a user and for small businesses. Those messages are Facebook's response to new, stricter privacy guidelines from Apple. In order to create personalized targeted ads, Facebook needs to gather data from other apps that you use, something Apple will soon make them ask permission to do. A technology reporter is here to break down what these privacy guidelines could mean for you and why Facebook and Apple are on opposite sides. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you heard about these changes Apple is making? What questions do you have? Do you like the idea? Big picture, how would you like to see your personal data protected and or used? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, excuse me, or email ideas@WPR.org. Alfred Ng is a reporter for The Markup. He covers surveillance, privacy, and the impact of technology. Alfred, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, this all is in the backdrop, or there's a backdrop of a really big issue over data privacy here. Give us the particulars, though, on this Apple versus Facebook. What's going on here?
Yeah, so this was an Apple announcement that they made back in summer of 2020, where they basically said, from starting soon, if you want to track users and if you want to connect, you know, their activity across apps. So let's say I'm using one app and then all of a sudden another app that I'm using knows that I happen to use that app or what I've been doing on that app. They now have to get permission for that. And that is a big issue for Facebook because the bulk of their data collection doesn't just come from you posting on Facebook or you telling Facebook, I like this particular band or anything like that. There's a lot of apps that have trackers embedded within them. And Facebook is one of these many trackers where, you know, if I use an app to check something like basketball scores or something like that, if Facebook has a tracker in that app, it'll tell Facebook, hey, Alfred likes basketball. And then they'll know, they'll be able to build up a profile of me and be able to target me that way. And the data privacy issue with that is that many of these trackers are working off the premise of an opt-out model where, you know, you have to go and explicitly tell these apps, hey, I don't like being tracked across all my apps. Please stop doing that. Whereas what Apple is saying right now is once this update comes along, you will actually have to ask, hey, can we track you rather than the other way around?
So the way this might work, and check me if I have this wrong, this could go a couple different ways. If I see an ad today on Facebook or Instagram, same company, and a few days later, search for that on Google and buy that product, they, if they're tracking that, they can call that a win and tell their advertiser, hey, your ad worked, and vice versa. If I'm searching for products on Google, that could help inform them of what ads to show me on Facebook. With the current system, that's easy for them to do, right?
Yeah, it's extremely easy for them to do, especially because a lot of these tracking mechanisms, they can be customized to be very granular, where it is, you know, the examples that you gave, where if I look at one product, even though I don't buy it immediately, if I see an ad for it later on, and it can even be like a full month later, and I finally decide, hey, I'm going to buy this product, Facebook, yeah, collects that metric and says, hey, we know that, you know, this person saw this ad, and you spent money with us to show it to them. So this is a sign of success here. You should continue spending money with us. Now that that's kind of gone until somebody opts in, it kind of gives advertisers, you know, a little bit of pause here of should I continue to spend Facebook ads because I don't actually know if my money is getting what it's worth.
Now, why is Apple saying they're doing this?
So Apple has been saying that they're doing this because they've been staking their ground on privacy being the issue that separates them from their competitors, where, you know, they, unlike Facebook and unlike Google, they don't sell, you know, ads. Their big thing is selling their products, and privacy is a big part of that as well. You know, they also advertise themselves on security, and that is a big part of their marketing issue, but they also, it, for them, it's a big part of what distinguishes them from their competitors.
We are talking about data privacy, a dispute now between Apple and Facebook. Alfred Ng is with us, reporter for The Markup. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does it creep you out that anything you do on an app or online is likely to be shared with any social media outlet you're using, especially the Facebooks and Instagrams of the world? Or Do you find it convenient that the ads you see wherever you go are things that, yeah, you might want to buy sometime? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Alfred, to the bigger picture now, how much of a dossier on any individual internet and app user does a company like Facebook have?
Well, what Facebook likes to say is that, you know, they don't have a specific individual dossier when they're selling to advertisers, right? They're not saying, hey, we have all this information on Alfred. You want to sell this ad to him specifically. They're saying that, you know, we have this all this information on people ages 18 to 34 that live in New York and that might be interested in basketball. But that's not to say that this kind of information can't be eventually de-anonymized. And that's kind of the main issue with it, where, you know, Apple is not giving Facebook or any of these apps like my personal name or my address or anything like that, but they are giving them a lot of data points where if you work backwards enough, you'll be able to figure that out. Where with location data, for example, you know, every company that sells location data will say this is anonymized, but location data is very hard to keep anonymous, right? Where if you get location data and it leads right to my doorsteps, it's like, it's very likely that, you know, they'll be able to figure out who lives there and then be able to tie that data back to me.
Now, you've followed this over the years. Facebook has run into trouble with what it does with this data and who it sells it to or allows access to it. What kind of problems have we seen?
Yeah, obviously, you know, there were a lot of concerns in 2018 with Facebook and the data analytics from Cambridge Analytica, a firm out of the UK that was working with these political groups, you know, Brexit being one of them, the Trump campaign being another one of them, where they were collecting this data from people that they weren't using it. They weren't expecting the data that they were giving to Cambridge Analytica to be used for political campaigns, right? The data that they had given to Facebook was off of these personalities tests, like what kind of music do you like, what kind of friends, like superheroes are you into, that kind of stuff. And then that just got turned right around and then used by these firms to say, okay, well, we're going to target this specific area to say, you know, you should vote, like you should come to this rally. And I think that was one of the main issues of like seeing how, you know, this data that you thought was just this fun little tool was being given really without your consent and was just being openly traded like that for you know, political purposes.
And on the theme of politics, you've written a couple pieces on something that Facebook agreed to stop doing, pushing and promoting particular kinds of political groups to people, not cases where you go out and look for a political group, but kind of promoting them. What's going on with that story?
Yeah, so around October, Mark Zuckerberg was at a Senate hearing where he had told told senators, you know, we're going to be pausing recommending political groups because there had been research saying that, you know, a large percentage of extremist groups, people who joined them on Facebook, they joined because Facebook's algorithm recommended them to do it. So Mark Zuckerberg had told the Senate that Facebook was going to put a pause on that until after the election. If you listen to Facebook's most recent earnings call, they actually mentioned that they were going to put a pause on that permanently. But before that had happened, we had found that from October until January 19th or so, Facebook was still continuing to recommend political groups, which they chalked up to a technical error.
We're picking up our talk now with Alfred Ng, technology reporter for The Markup. We're breaking down Apple's new privacy standards, how they may change how social media operates on your phone, if you have one of their phones, and talking about wider issues of our data and who does what with it. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your concerns about who's tracking you when you do stuff online or with an app. And you could answer the question, do you like getting ads targeted to you for particular products that you might actually buy? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Alfred, as somebody who studies these issues and pays a lot of attention to them, does it affect the way you use apps and the internet?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I try to have as many I only really use one ad blocker, but, you know, on all the devices that I use, I try to have ad blockers on that. I think like there's a very small percentage of people that read privacy policies before they actually use something. And I am very much like in a part of that percentage. And yeah, it's, if I don't have to use an app to do something, I try not to, but that has been a little bit frustrating when it comes to like ordering food.
Fair. And now with an ad blocker, I mean, I don't see the ad then, but is somebody still tracking what I'm doing on that page, even if I don't see the ad?
Yeah, you can still be tracked even if you're not getting an ad or anything like that. So if you're using Google Chrome, for example, you're basically operating within Google's ecosystem there, and your browsing habits and that kind of stuff is being sent to Google. It's not being sent to Google and it's saying, you know, attached to a name or anything like that, but a lot of this information is being collected for advertising purposes.
Are there efforts afoot to change that, to limit the overall ecosystem of who's tracking us when we're doing stuff?
Yeah, so Google actually made an announcement last week about this, where last year they said that they were getting rid of this thing called a third-party cookies, where that's essentially what's being used right now to track you across, you know, all these multiple websites, where a website will have a cookie embedded on it and you'll go on it and then go to another website that might have that same cookie there, that then it'll be able to link like the behaviors of you specifically. So Google said that they're not going to be supporting that anymore within a couple of years, but what they're doing now instead is they're focusing on this thing called like a flock. And where instead of them tracking me individually, they're trying to put, you know, a group to it instead, where it's like aggregated and it's multiple. It's you're separated into these groups that advertisers can, you know, target, you know, ads to, instead of just focusing on an individual person. So it's all still tracking, but they're saying that it's more privacy focused because you're being tracked within a large group rather than like you individually.
So we're being bundled in effect.
Yeah, their flock is supposed to stand for something like federated learning of cohorts, and the cohorts are what they're calling these groups.
Now, Facebook has said, well, hold on, if you don't let these advertisements work, you're going to hurt small businesses. And I hear people say, well, if you have ad blockers, maybe that journalistic website isn't getting paid for your visit. Are there concerns that this could hurt revenue for legitimate companies trying to do good stuff?
Yeah, so Facebook has been, you know, using the argument of, you know, we're doing these personalized ads for small businesses. These are specifically these small businesses that rely on targeted advertising, right? So it's something that's like a very niche business that needs a very niche audience to be able to thrive. But you know, Tim Cook on January 28th, he had given a speech talking about how you don't really need all of this level of data about a person to be able to target ads to people. You know, television networks have been doing this for decades, where they've been relying on something called contextual advertising instead, where I don't need to follow a person around all day to know like what their interests are. If I set up like a sports website and somebody comes to my website, like I'll know that this person is interested in sports. I don't need to track them around across the entire internet to do that.
We had a question from Mary in Green Bay who wonders how clearing your cookies impacts this kind of tracking.
Yeah, so cookies are basically kind of a way for a website to remember you. So when you go on a website and you're already logged in, that's because the cookies are there to set it. So when you clear your cookies, you're essentially telling this website, like, I'm a completely new person. You don't know who I am. So that's what, you know, clearing your cookies does. But I mean, the moment you log back into your account, assuming it's a website that has like a login or anything like that, then it's kind of like, oh, I know who you are. Let's like load all that data back up for you again.
Now, how does Facebook know that the product you're looking to buy is the result of you seeing an ad for it on Facebook, as opposed to, you know, seeing it elsewhere later? We were talking about that a little earlier, how Facebook brings up a win for that ad they put on.
Yeah, so you're tracked on your own through these apps, through something called, if you're using an Apple device, it's something called an IDFA. It's an identifier for advertisers. If you're on a Google device, it's a Google advertising identifier, where it's not like your name or anything like that. It's not an ID that you've ever signed up for. It's just a random string of like characters and numbers that's supposed to represent you. And, you know, a lot of apps like will collect this IDFA and just a bunch of data associated with it. So if I'm looking at something for a very long time, they'll collect that IDFA. And then once I go to purchase something, if I'm using my phone to buy it, the IDFA is a part of that as well. And they'll be able to connect the two. Even, like I said, even if it's like a full month later or something like that, if the IDFA is associated with it, it's very easy to link the two like behaviors.
That's all the time we have. Alfred, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Alfred Ng, reporter for The Markup. He talked to us about Apple's new privacy restrictions and how they could change things for social media companies. His story on the topic will be published tomorrow. You can find it at themarkup.org.